The scripture reading today comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This ends the reading. On June 17, 1909, the people living in the city of Dayton, Ohio, experienced the greatest parade they had ever known. At 9 a.m. in the morning, every church bell rang and factory whistle to let the people know that the parade was about to begin. On the eve of this historic event, the Dayton Daily News wrote a column about the two brothers for whom the parade was to celebrate, Wilbur and Orville Wright. The article said the modesty of the Wright brothers is a source of a good deal of comment, but above all, there is a sermon in their life and endeavor which cannot be preached too often. As I read these words, I decided to take the newspaper up on this challenge. Today's sermon includes my theological reflections on the lives and endeavors of the Wright brothers. Their story as pioneers in aviation helps me to think more deeply about my faith. Their story helps me to draw inspiration from the flight of birds. Their story reminds me that with God, all things are possible, even when others publicly express their doubts. And most of all, their story gives me a greater appreciation for where I live. I do extend my appreciation to author David McCullough for his book titled The Wright Brothers, from which many of these stories are drawn. What place do you consider your hometown? Apologies to Senator Marco Rubio, who did not know the hometown of the Wright brothers. The state of Ohio is the birthplace of aviation. Dayton, Ohio is the hometown of Wilbur and Orville Wright. The city of Dayton was named after Jonathan Dayton. Jonathan Dayton was a veteran of the Revolutionary War, an investor in our local area, and a member of Congress. He is the youngest person to sign the U.S. Constitution. The Atlantic Monthly had written that the people of Ohio were the sort of idealist who had the courage of their dreams. The Wright brothers were these sort of idealists. The Wright brothers lived with their family in a home on Hawthorne Street in Dayton. Their father was a bishop in one of the antecedent denominations of the United Methodist Church. Bishop Milton Wright was an itinerant pastor for the United Brethren Church of Christ. Wilbur and Orville were like their father in their mannerisms, both described as being perfect gentlemen and naturally courteous to all. Wilbur and Orville have a younger sister named Catherine. She was the only college graduate in the family. She taught Latin at the local high school. Catherine was included in all of the Wright brothers' endeavors. She was an invaluable support to them. They also have two older brothers, Ruchelin and Lauren. Sadly, their mother, Susan, died of tuberculosis at a young age. It was the worst sadness the family had ever known. The Wright brothers supported their work in aviation by repairing and selling bicycles. They worked long hours, they never worked on Sunday, they worked best together, and they worked to serve others. These days at the bench in their workshop set the stage for how they would go about their work on the airplane. The image of Wilbur and Orville Wright at their workbench reminds me of how Jesus began his ministry. It was as a carpenter from which Jesus begins his ministry. Can you imagine Jesus at his workbench, carefully fixing things with his hands? Jesus' family, neighbors, and friends watched him grow up, making and fixing things out of wood. In the gospel, Mark, the people ask, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" Carpentry was the perfect foundation for which Jesus could base his ministry. Once he started his public ministry, he went town to town, carefully healing people who were broken. He was often seen laying his hands gently on the sick. Jesus said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Repairing bicycles is the foundation from which the Wright brothers build an airplane. Fixing things with his hands as a carpenter was the foundation for Jesus' ministry of healing. What in creation inspires you? People have been inspired by the flight of birds since birds first took to the air. The Wright brothers studied birds to learn about the dynamics of flight. Their reading about the flight of birds was intense. Their readings included books on aerial locomotion, animal mechanism, and animal aeronautics. After the brothers wrote letters to the National Weather Service seeking the ideal weather conditions for their test flights, they became aware of a place called Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Kitty Hawk provided steady winds, warm air, and miles of flat beaches. What the brothers did not expect was the diversity of birds that lived near the water. Wilbur devoted long hours of study to the movements of the birds on the beach. He recorded information and illustrations about eagles, vultures, hawks, pigeons, buzzards, and seagulls. He noted how they rise, how they float, how they sweep a field, and how they sail on the wind without effort. It truly was an inspiration for them to watch the birds. In the Bible, the prophet Isaiah draws inspiration from the birds at a time when the Israelites were in exile in Babylon. Isaiah writes, "Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The psalmist echoes these words, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge." People who read the Bible are encouraged to find hope by watching the flight of birds. The birds are a sign that God is faithful, and with that, our hope is renewed. Like the birds that soar in the sky, God's presence can sustain you in every situation. God's love can lift you to places you never thought you could go. Do you want to do the impossible? Doing the impossible was what many thought of the Wright brothers in their experiments. They had no college education, no experience working outside of the family business, no financial investors, no government subsidies, and little money of their own. They barely survived one of the worst floods in Dayton's history in the spring of 1898, when 2,000 people had abandoned their homes. The floodwaters came within a few feet of their home. The Wright brothers had their share of naysayers and critics, too. The Washington Post wrote, "It is a fact that man can't fly." Simon Newcomb, a scientific authority on flight, said, "The dream of flight is a total sham." Local farmers called them fools. Even the people who lived on the Outer Banks, who were usually supportive and eager to help, said, "We believe in a good God, a bad devil, and a hot hell. And more than anything else, we believe that same God did not intend man should ever fly." When people were not putting down the Wright brothers' work or trying to steal credit from them, Mother Nature did her best to make their experiments difficult to conduct. When the Wright brothers faced hurricane-force winds on the Outer Banks, Wilbur wrote to his sister saying, "This storm hove to view makes the prayers of Elijah look small in comparison. The wind wasn't even the worst of it. Every 10 to 12 years, giant mosquitoes, what they would call skeeters, flew in off the ocean." Orville wrote in his journal, "The skeeters appeared in the form of a mighty cloud, almost darkening the sun. Working through the skeeters day and night was the worst experience of his life." Wilbur Wright was so discouraged, he said, "Not in 1,000 years would man ever fly." When he got back to Dayton, he strengthened his resolve and continued on. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gives the disciples a hard lesson on the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard Jesus' teaching, they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Unfortunately, this is a fact too often forgotten. If you attempt to do what others say is impossible, then you can be sure that there will be naysayers and critics. You will need to surround yourself with people who will encourage you. In the book of Acts, there was a man named Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas encouraged the apostles. You will need a lot of people like Barnabas in your life. They will encourage you to persevere. One source of encouragement for the Wright brothers was their high school friend, Paul Lawrence Dunbar. Dunbar was a poet who wrote a weekly paper for the black community. He gives praise to Orville Wright. His poem reads, "Orville Wright is out of sight in the printing business. No other mind is half so bright as his is." The impossible dream became reality for the Wright brothers on December 17th, 1903. It was the first controlled, powered, and sustained heavier-than-air flight in human history. It was their patient perseverance, their calm faith, and their hard work and cooperation that made the Wright brothers the greatest innovators of aviation of their time. Neil Armstrong had a small piece of the cloth from the wing of the Wright flyer with him when he walked on the moon. He called them Dayton's greatest heroes. Wilbur described flying as a sense of perfect peace, mingled with the excitement that strains every nerve to the utmost, if you can conceive of such a combination. The Wright brothers viewed the airplane as one of God's most gracious and precious gifts. Their father, Bishop Wright, a man of deep religious conviction in the Methodist Church, approved their work, even though he knew every time his sons went up in a flight, they were risking their lives. His faith taught him that this was the cost of doing something that you believed in with your whole heart. John Daniels wrote, "When the Wright brothers worked, they worked. They had their whole heart and soul in what they were doing. They had faith." In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is asked, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. By dedicating themselves completely to the cause of aviation, the Wright brothers show us what it means to love something with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. God desires such love from all who follow Christ. At a special awards ceremony, President William Howard Taft, standing 6 feet 2 inches, loomed large next to the Wright brothers. He spoke with an unmistakable warmth to the two brothers, saying, "I esteem it a great honor and an opportunity to present these medals to you as evidence of what you have done. It is especially gratifying thus to note a great step in human discovery by paying honor to men who bear it so modestly. You made this discovery by a course that we of America like to feel is distinctively American. By keeping your noses right at the job until you had accomplished what you had determined to do." On June 17th, 1909, the city of Dayton held a parade in celebration of the Wright brothers. 2,500 children were dressed in red, white, and blue shirts, and they made a living American flag. There were 15 floats, over 500 people in costumes, bicycles, cars, and a handcrafted replica of the Wright flyer. The two-day event was the greatest parade Dayton had ever known. Today, I am grateful for Jesus, this carpenter from Nazareth, who God sent to be the Savior of the world. Today, I am grateful for Wilbur and Orville Wright and their family for putting their faith in God and one another and in the dream of making the world a better place through aviation. And today, I am grateful to call the Dayton area my home. Wilbur Wright said, "If I were giving a young man advice as to how he might succeed in life, I would say to him, pick out a good father, pick out a good mother, and begin life in Ohio. Thanks be to God for the great state of Ohio and for the people who make it so. This state is the birthplace of aviation. May it be the place where your faith takes flight. Amen."